All right. I'd like to introduce our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. We have Sean Aspin from Grey Wolf Animal Health.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, everybody. How's the volume? Are we okay? Everybody can hear? Thank you for coming to hear the Grey Wolf story today. So I'm a pinch hitter. I chair the company. I am not the CEO, so no really, really hard questions, please. This happens to coincide with our national sales meeting in the East, and so our CEO, Angela Cecchetto, is back in Toronto, frankly, taking care of business. So normally she would be the one presenting, so I'll do my best to represent our story and our company, of which I chair. Disclaimers. So we're a diversified animal health company, and the genesis of the company was a foundation between a very entrepreneurial veterinarian by the name of Dr. Ian Sandler, who remains active in the company and on our board, and Bloom Burton & Co. So my day job is I'm a partner at Bloom Burton & Co. We're the leading healthcare investment bank in the country. And the vision that Dr. Sandler had when he approached my partners was, as a practicing veterinarian in Canada, I can't get a lot of products in this country. Why is that? Well, we've got a very difficult regulatory environment. We have a broad and geographically dispersed country, and it wasn't attractive for a lot of international entrants. So the genesis of that was to form the company to tap that unmet medical need. So we are bringing to market products that, frankly, are standard of care in many jurisdictions around the world, but just weren't available in Canada. And that was our ethos from the get-go. So today, fast forward to today, we have both pharmaceutical products, innovative and generic products, and custom medications through our, what is now 50% of our business, through our custom medication or our compounding pharmacy business. We also have non-prescription products, both nutraceuticals and consumables, things like needles, syringes, medical pet shirts. The business itself, I don't think I need to tell you, anybody in this room, that the animal health sector is quite resilient. There's been a bit of pullback, I think, in consumer discretionary spending, but what it's done for the animal health sector is maybe slowed the growth rate, but not eliminated the growth rate. People spend money on pets. They're part of the family. The millennial trend, the increasing spend to keep our pets healthier, happier, longer, continues and is not going to change. We really focus on organic growth, and that has been historically by in-licensing drugs and non-prescription products to drive an organic growth rate. So we've launched over 13 different product portfolios in the last 5 years and continue to look for opportunities to bring those products into Canada. We have a very integrated sales and marketing strategy, much like you'd see on the human spec pharma. There are a number of human spec companies presenting today and tomorrow. Very similar on the animal health side of our business, where we have a team across the country. They're actually at the national sales meeting right now. And a very disciplined sales and marketing approach where we have boots on the ground, digital marketing, lunch and learns, KOLs, so very systematic approach. We've completed, so we're not happy with organic growth, and we have completed two acquisitions since the company's inception, one of which was to establish our accelerate our commercial footprint, a profitable business that had products in market, and then we augmented it. And the second was our compounding pharmacy acquisition, which we made in 2021. We still have a solid financial and improving financial position to drive growth. We have a strong balance sheet, and we've been cash flow positive in every quarter since we've been public, and our balance sheet continues to improve, and I'll come back to that. This is the resilient industry. You can see the recession 2008, 9, 10 through the GFC. People don't stop spending on their pets, simply put. And as you can see, we through the pandemic, there was obviously a surge in spend as people spent more time at home. The growth rate, like I said, did slow last year, but again, it's still growing, and we think that the trends are still very much our friends. I'm not going to belabor this. Pets are increasingly viewed as members of the family. I don't know about you, but I certainly know where I sit in my pecking order in my family. It's wife, kids, kids, wife, but pet here, and I'm usually at the bottom almost always. And I don't see that changing. Demographic trends, millennials having pets before they have kids, the humanization of pets. The reality is we're treating our pets like we treat ourselves, and frankly, sometimes better, at least in my house. And a growing trend towards personalized medicine, which really helps our pharmacy side of our business. The growth strategy on the organic growth side, which is where we spend the bulk of our time, it's quite simply leveraging our existing portfolio. So once we've launched the products, get more clinics to buy them, and then get the clinics to buy more. So we spend a lot of time on those metrics, increasing the penetration. We have products in about 95% of the clinics in Canada, so we have good penetration, but it's all about the new product detailing. So as we develop a track record, it's easier on that call point to come into the clinic and launch a new product because they know what we did last time. We're typically coming back to something they don't have in their practice. Business development is increasing the in-licensing activity on the animal health side of our business. So going to more of these international pharma companies saying, we'd like to do Canada for you. And so we were very active on the business development front, and we recently indicated that we're going to be launching two new products in the back half of this year. We also will look at acquiring complementary products that fit our portfolio. A product development is more on the custom medication and compounding side. I want to stress we are not an R&D company. If we do D, it's very little D, and it's on our pharmacy side of our business. We let the multinational companies take the clinical risk. Our risk is getting it through the regulatory process and into the market. On the acquisition side, I have a separate slide, which I'll speak to in a bit in terms of what we're looking for, but we're looking to expand in either channels, markets, or species, but I will come back to that. This is our history since inception. Really spent the first few years, I would say, taking the company from a napkin conversation to where it went commercial on January 1, 2019. We call that our launch date. We actually bought that business in Q4 of 2018, so we became revenue positive in first quarter of January 2019 and profitable, EBITDA positive year afterwards, and have been so ever since. We actually are net income positive on many quarters. Get asked a lot of questions about that as well. The acquisition, you see the product portfolios grow over time on our animal health side, and then we made our acquisition of our pharmacy business in 2021. And then listed on the public in a very on the public markets in a non-traditional way. We financed the pharmacy acquisition with a mix of low-cost bank debt and we'll call it a one-year pre-public raise. We honored the commitment to get public, but we didn't need to raise capital, so we merged with the CPC that had $4.5 million of cash. A very non-traditional way to get public. Part of the reason why we're doing more of this is to get awareness, because as you're aware, when you're raising capital, you get awareness. We didn't do that. And we went public in a, I would say, a tricky environment in the fourth quarter of 2022. So we're just heads down trying to grow the business. So what is unique about our business? We're actually one of the few Canadian animal health companies that is co-founded and run by, led by a veterinarian. It's quite a unique, quite interesting to me that there's not more veterinarians in leadership positions. There's lots of vets in the industry, but we really have that vet fiber running through our organization right from founding right to today. A differentiated and broad product portfolio. Today we have over 25 product portfolios, and we do have the custom medication, which has a much broader list of products. Platform for growth. Again, the team is built. It's about getting out there, in-licensing more products, getting them into the market. On the formulation side, new markets, new species. And the commercial team, coast-to-coast sales coverage and a very integrated sales and marketing team, both feet on the ground, but also social media, digital, Google Ads, trying to be really hit the clinics on both sides, both in person and digitally. This is a good example of what we do on the animal health side. So if many of you, I'm assuming, have cats or dogs, you know that one of the things that is going to cause you to race to the vet is vomiting or diarrhea. It is the GI upset is the number one cause for a non-routine vet visit, meaning not a spay or neuter, not your heartworm shots. The reason you don't want to go to the vet is basically GI upset. This is a product, this is a simple terms, binding clay. And it's standard of care in many European and Australasian companies. And it just never came to Canada. And what it is for the veterinarian, it's a non-antibiotic way to treat GI upset. So typically the standard of care in Canada used to be your dog or cat had diarrhea, you go to the vet, you'd likely get prescribed an antibiotic. Well, as we all know, antibiotics have a lot of resistance problems, and importantly, they take time to work. So you've got an on-market solution that takes time and may not work. You've got a dog or a cat that's making a mess of the carpet. You want it fixed stat. This is a natural health product that the vet tech or the front office can actually give to the pet owner without a prescription. So it's a very, very user-friendly sell. It takes time to re-educate, but as the stats indicate, we've seen really good pull-through at the clinic level and then the reorder. But we do a lot of the KOL, lunch and learns, just continuing ed to drive and change the standard of care for the benefit of veterinarians and vet practices. A second product, again, natural health product. This is by a company called VetraScience. 35 years in the United States, never brought their Pro line to Canada. Why? They just never bothered. It's different markets, strange to them. They have lots of running room in the States. It had brand equity, so we didn't rebrand it, and we've started to launch their line of products into Canada. This is a product that treats situational anxiety. It's a natural health product. Again, it's a very, very big category, and we've seen good growth in the channel. So that's the animal health side of the business and some examples of what we do there. It's about half of our business right now, almost. It's funny, our business is about 50% animal health and 50% pharmacy. I'll switch now to the pharmacy side of our business. This is not your standard bricks and mortar retail Shoppers Drug Mart. This is a dedicated facility. You can't walk up as a consumer. Our customers are almost entirely veterinarians. And again, it looks like you see here, non-sterile, sterile, non-hazardous, hazardous clean rooms to manufacture products predominantly in the equine. So we bought this business. They were an equine leader. One of our opportunities is to expand outside of equine. But right now, if you have a horse, chances are you're dealing with us in Canada, or importantly, your veterinarian is. Why the custom medications? Much like on the human side, if you can't get the dose, the pill, the injectable, and the size of dose you want, it's used a lot in veterinary medicine as well. And you can imagine that there's a big difference between dosing a chihuahua and dosing a horse. And the form factors required for those different species and the breadth of size of animal varies quite widely. And the other interesting thing about the animal market, not surprisingly, is flavoring. Much like you have to give the grape-flavored Tylenol to your child, you can imagine that horses, dogs, cats, they like different flavors. So we do a lot of that custom flavoring, but custom dose, form factor. The other benefit that we see here is, again, the benefit of having a, can't believe I'm going to say this, the benefit of having a tough national regulator is it's hard for new products to get approved. It's also where a lot of big pharma has decided to discontinue products, either for regulatory reasons or they're not just, like the products just don't meet the bar anymore. So compounding is a way to pick up for some of those important but small discontinued products so we can fill the gap there as well. And again, we dispensed over 2,000 unique SKUs last year, so it's really custom manufacturing. Financially, we're proud of our P&L. You see, we bought the pharmacy business in 2021. So you've got a stub period towards the end of that year. And as you can see, both businesses have grown, both the animal health and the pharmacy to today, they're running about 50% each. EBITDA margins, again, you can see as we launched the business, we're EBITDA positive and we continue to be. The challenge, quite frankly, for the board and for the company is toggling between EBITDA growth and investing in your products. So as you launch new products, you want to invest in marketing. That costs money, so that impacts your EBITDA margins. So we value our EBITDA margins, but we will invest in our business to continue to grow. Historically, we've been running about 15%, and you'll see on the next slide, we've actually increased our EBITDA margins. I wouldn't guide you to that being the rule of thumb. We do see absolutely EBITDA margin expansion over time, but again, we're trying to grow the business by investing in it, and so that we're trying to take a long-term approach. Second quarter was strong, high single-digit revenue growth, close to 30% EBITDA growth. I wouldn't annualize that, but I think what we would suggest is we would continue to guide people towards high single-digit revenue growth and ideally double-digit EBITDA growth. We do notice that in a small company where you've got $4 million of EBITDA, you will get that quarterly fluctuation. So again, the tenet, though, is the trend is up and to the right, both revenue and EBITDA, and we continue to execute on that. So what are we going to do with the cash? So when we went public via RTO, we had $4.5 million of cash and $11.5 million of debt through our five-year facility with Canadian Western Bank. Today, our balance sheet, we have $7 million of cash and just under $9 million of debt. So our net debt is now below $2 million, so less than half a turn of trailing 12 EBITDA. We would like to make an acquisition, but we would like to do it smart. We'd like to think we're fairly disciplined about that. We'd like to buy a profitable business. We would look at businesses that weren't profitable if we could immediately make them profitable, but it's really about disciplined financial growth. And what would we look at? Obviously, other products that fit either on the animal health side or on the compounding side, species. We're strong in companion animal on the animal health side, strong in equine on the pharmacy side of the business. Perhaps there's an opportunity to expand there. We're not in large animal, so food animals. Other channels, we sell almost exclusively through veterinarians today. We have looked at other channels. There's challenges with bricks and mortar. There's challenges with direct-to-consumer. But if we found the right product or company that had a nice margin profile, we would look. And geographic, we candidly have looked at the U.S. We're not afraid of it, but we're also very respectful of the market. And again, if we're going to go there, we're going to go there smart and ideally buy something that's already established and profitable. Our team, so Angela is the CEO. She comes from Paladin Labs. So many of the microcap investors in Canada would know the success that was Paladin Labs, privatized in 2014-15 for $2.5 billion, was the model for human spec pharma companies, many of which are still public today. A very good exit. So Angela is classically trained in a very successful company. She is very, very experienced in in-licensing deals. And so she is the front face, not only of the company, but also facing off with international companies to bring those innovative products. Dr. Sandler is the guy who bird dogs them. So he is the vet. He's the guy who knows what works, what doesn't work. He'll identify assets. Angela will go and do the deal. Kevin's our CFO, has been with us for 4 years, very experienced healthcare CFO. And Brandon joined us just over 2 years ago to help scale our pharmacy business. Compound is a very good business, but it's hard to find people. We're very happy to have Brandon. He is unique in that he has actually scaled a couple of their businesses in the space. The board, I chair it. So Bloom Burton remains the largest shareholder of the company. Dr. Sandler is the second largest shareholder as a co-founder. We both have committed equity on all the financings along the way and have actually bought in the open market. Jill Angevine, based in Calgary, very experienced corporate director with audit and governance experience. She chairs our audit committee. Rob Harris, some of you may remember Tribute Pharmaceuticals. He was the co-founder of that company, sold in a nice exit about 5 years ago, an amazing depth of knowledge on the spec pharma side of the business. And very happy to have Diane Barassa join. So within the animal health space, it's predominantly dominated by large multinationals, and Diane used to run their Canadian operation of a company called Vitoquinol. Vitoquinol at the time was the fifth largest animal health company in Canada. It's a French multinational. She's got a ton of experience, not only from a financial and management perspective, but directly in the animal health business. Our cap table, fairly clean, 31 million shares. That hasn't changed. Options pool, we disciplined about our options growth. And our balance sheet, as I mentioned, it's quite simple. Cash is going up. Debt is coming down. We did do one thing right when we before we went public. We took 4.7% bank debt. So that's a five-year facility that expires in 2026. Hopefully, rates will be back down there by the time we have to renew. But we're quite happy with that and our financial partner, Canadian Western Bank. And again, so cash up, debt down. The enterprise value, as I mentioned, around 27. Insiders, friends, actually insiders, about 33% of the stock. Friends of the company at probably another 20%. We do have some institutional ownership. We have had some people picking away, which is great to see, but a nice support base amongst the retail community. I don't think there's a company who's going to tell you they're not undervalued, so I'm going to put this in here and tell you we're undervalued. But the reality is that the company, from a public perspective, is dominated by large multinational companies. And I understand that there is a size bias. I do think multiples are earned, and I think we're earning our multiple, but I think the valuation gap, certainly on a trailing basis, is quite pronounced. So we're trading, call it 7 times trailing EBITDA, with the comps all trading into the teens. Again, we think that's a valuation gap that narrows over time as our story gets out. We continue to execute on a quarterly basis and ideally, hopefully layer in an acquisition or two along the way. So that's Grey Wolf. How's my time? Good. 7 more minutes. Are there any questions? Can I do questions? Am I supposed to do questions? Okay, I'm supposed to do questions. Yeah, so the question was, what's the breakdown between animal health and pharmacy? It's almost 50-50 right now. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Good question. It's how is distribution handled on both the animal health side and the pharmacy business. I'm going to shock all the Canadians in the room. Canada is a distinct model on the animal health side. So 50% of our business, we have four customers. Those four customers are distribution companies. Three of them are co-ops that are owned by the vets, and one of them is largely controlled by the Quebec government. So we sell on the animal health side of the business, that standard and licensing model. We sell to the distributors who then pass the products on to the vet clinic. So if you're a vet clinic, you basically order everything from your vet distributor who are owned by the veterinarians in three of the four cases. So interesting dynamic. They're co-ops in that they don't make a lot of money. They're between 10 and 12% pass-through margin for their services. So the challenge that we have is going to the vet clinics and getting the pull-through. So they order the products from the distributor. Distributor are really just that in our world. They distribute the products. So we land there and then the pull-through from the vet clinics. Does that make sense on the distribution side? On the compounding side, it's direct to veterinarian. So you're an equine vet, you call up, you order, call, email. Some of them still use fax, God forbid. Website provisioning. So it's direct to the veterinarian. So again, a very loyal and sticky customer base. You have to have quality products, particularly in the equine world. They're very specific. 5 minutes left. Anybody else? Oh, the back, yep. Yeah. The question is there a threat for customers going direct and bypassing distribution? On the prescription side, no, in Canada. It's very difficult to bypass the healthcare profession, meaning you can't do pharmacy direct. Can in the United States. I don't see that changing in Canada. Certainly on the consumable side of our business, we do see that. For instance, one of our best-selling products is a medical pet shirt. We think we've got the best medical pet shirt in the market. But if you're a consumer, you can get that product on Amazon. You can get that product at Chewy. Frankly, in our view, it's just not as good. So we do see some of that. The challenge is that the goal for us is to have better products that people want to buy through their veterinarian. And we have looked at distributing. So if you're a consumer, you can buy our products direct on our vet. So many of you, if you have pets, you'll know that your vet has an online portal. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. But I know I've ordered from my vet online as a direct-to-consumer. So there is that conduit. It's just the vet portal. So it's an online experience controlled by the vet. Well, thank you, everybody. Sorry that Angela couldn't be here today. I appreciate your interest in Grey Wolf. We think we've got a great little business, and we're just trying to continue to scale and make it a great bigger business. Appreciate the time.